Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. Jerry's here sitting in for Dave, and this is Short Stuff. Giddy up, tally ho, let's go. Let's make sure this one doesn't blow.
Ooh, saucy.
Thank you.
A curse upon your house.
A pox upon you then, jerk.
I would never write a curse tablet for you, my friend.
No. No, nor would I. I mean, like, I would even think that would go without saying, because it's just such a jerk move to write a curse tablet against somebody if you think about it.
Yeah. I never had heard of these before.
Me either.
These are what it sounds like. It's a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
This is generally ancient Rome or Greece,
right,
with a curse inscribed upon it. And you would generally inscribe this curse after somebody's death, right?
Not necessarily.
Usually, though.
There's a famous one in Pompeii that somebody affixed to a tomb. So you could do it after death. And what you were essentially saying, do you want to read that one?
Sure. You ready?
I'm ready.
And this comes through our friends from HowStuffWorks.com and Ancient Rome and Ancient Greece. Stranger, stay a short while, if it is not too troublesome, and learn what to avoid. This man, who I hoped was a friend of mine, brought prosecutors to me, a.k.a. persecutors, sort of?
No, I think,
or
like,
literal prosecutors.
I think he sued him.
Oh, okay. Prosecutors to me. And, oh, yeah, sure. And instigated proceedings. Mm-hmm. I am grateful to the gods and my innocence, colon. I am free from all trouble. He who deceived us, may he not receive the penates, which are the household gods, nor the underworld.
Right. So what this guy who cursed this other person's tomb was saying is, this guy's a jerk. I hope that his soul basically doesn't even make it to the afterlife. That,
yeah,
essentially he's just doomed to wander aimlessly for eternity because he sued me once.
That's right. And this is a great example of a sort of a standard issue curse tablet, mm-hmm, also known at times as a defixion.
Wow, nice. I was going to say the E on the end and pinch my forefinger and thumb together.
Defixion.
Yeah, I think that's it.
You might be right. But this was a common practice at various times through the ancient times.
Mm-hmm.
And they were not necessarily always written on the same thing. Sometimes it was papyrus. Sometimes I believe they found lamps and pieces of clay and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of depends on how much money you had. But there was a lot of lead because of the silver mining operations, especially near Athens. And so lead turned out to be a really great sort of permanent thing that you could carve something on. And apparently looks really cool when carved upon.
Yeah, there's somebody interviewed in the How Stuff Works article that said, you know, when you write on it, when you carve it, it has like this kind of like silvery line that really kind of pops, I guess, against like the dullness of the oxidized lead. And then also it's just easy to write in lead. You can carve in it pretty easily. You don't have to be like a silversmith of any sort to do that. You
right.
can just be an average schmo with something sharp.
That's right. There was a historian, too, they talked to that said that it kind of came and went throughout history, but it interestingly was like a real fad and then went away really quickly each time that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a gradual rise and fall. They described it as sharp spikes in popularity.
Yeah, and I saw that the time that it popped up was somewhere around like 500 BCE to maybe 350 BCE is when it first starts. And if you'll remember, Chuck, from our bicameralism episode, that's about the time people got their brain, their consciousness in order and started to get superstitious because the gods had abandoned them.
Interesting.
I think so, too. I wonder if this has anything to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Might have just been part of that time, you know?
Yeah. Why not? Julian Jane's hypothesis wasn't scientific. I can add to it any way I like.
All right. So let's... It's very smug the way he said that. I liked it. That always reminds me, anytime I hear the word smug, when Tom Cruise talked to Matt Lauer about being smug.
Oh, yeah? No, I never saw that one.
Oh, it's one of the great clips. Of course, Matt Lauer ended up being a creep.
Yeah.
So I'm not defending him, but I think he was talking about Scientology, and he just kept... Oh, no, he was talking about glib, sorry. Matt, you're being glib.
Yeah, that's right. I have seen that. Yeah.
Good clip. All right, let's take a break and ponder Tom Cruise-ness, and we'll be back to talk about curse tablets right after this. S-Y-S-K.
You should know.
S-Y-S-K.
You should know. Josh Clark. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on!
If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible.
That's right. It's even in the name. Use code STUFF20 at checkout to receive $20 off your first month. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month every month, taxes and fees included.
Yep. Again, use promo code STUFF20 and you'll receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Switch now at Visible.com.
For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
So one of the things that people seem to do, and this was like when they were in fashion, when curse tablets were in fashion, everybody was into them. But
sure.
It seems like one of the things that you would do is like curse your rivals. Sometimes your rival in politics, your rival in business. I think some people cursed the rival chariot teams to their favorite chariot teams, which is
neighbors.
Really lunkheaded, but it just goes to show people have been lunkheaded for thousands of years, right?
There's always been lunks.
Yeah, your neighbors, especially if you have some sort of dispute, anyone who takes you to court. And then also people who are romantic rivals to somebody you like. I saw one that basically said, Helen be bound when she tries to flirt with or have sex with, you know, the dude that I like, whatever his name was, I don't remember. And that basically she was saying, like, please, gods, intervene and keep her from being able to perform in the sack with Aristophanes, let's say.
Yeah.
Who I'm now hoping was a man.
Or Romulus, by the way, smells bad and has a small pee-pee.
Yeah. But the whole thing was the whole thing was that you were basically calling upon the gods, you were invoking the gods to do something bad to this person that you did not like.
Yeah. And so as you would imagine, if you had a lot of money, you were probably more educated. You could probably spell and write these things yourself. But if you were wealthy, you probably paid someone to do it, maybe beautifully. But like you said, all stripes did it. So if you didn't have a lot of money, that may have been one like on a shard of clay. Mm-hmm. And you would go to, you may not be able to read or write. So you would go to a magician. And these magician, how it was described in this House of Works article, were like contract attorneys.
Right.
And they would kind of give you a template and have blanks and, you know, say, fill in the blanks with like, who's your grievance? What's his name? And what was the grievance? And then they would sort of fill this thing in, Fred Flintstone style. Mm-hmm. And apparently there were times even where they found some examples of these where the name or the grievance was so long that they had to kind of squish it in. And on these template forms, right. Which is really funny if you think about it.
Yeah, and also it sounds like an ancient Mad Lib, but magic Mad Lib, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So these things got so popular and so widespread that in some of the cursed tablets, they'll find like clauses that say, and if the other person finds out that I've cursed them and they try to reverse curse me, then I am rubber and they're glue in that case.
Yeah.
And their curse will bounce off of me and stick to them instead.
Right. And they would say, what is rubber?
I mean, let's just step back for a second, Chuck. We're essentially talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
A curse tablet and saying I'm rubber and you're glue is basically the same thing. I just think we should point that out.
Yeah, and it's funny. I do need to poke a little fun at this article because I didn't include it for your... I should have included it so you could have a laugh,
sure,
too.
Sure, I need a laugh.
Deleted it.
God, I need
at
a laugh.
At the end, it was talking about where these things, kind of when they fell out of popularity. And it's like, well, some argue that even though they don't do it anymore, our society is still very much like this. And just take a look at Twitter, a sort of modern version of a cursed tablet.
I got a laugh.
Yeah,
thanks,
not bad.
Man. Yeah, I guess I kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were cursing Twitter just then. Another thing, too, is there was a person interviewed that said that they were like a magical arms race because there'd be curses, counter curses, amulets, like the evil eye, you know, or the eye of Osiris, maybe, the very famous like amulet or symbol. That was worn to ward off curses. Like, I think that was the rubber that you would wear so that the curses would bounce off of you.
Oh, like I'm looking at you, buddy.
Basically. And then that's it. Curse tablets gone for the better. Short stuff.
Yes.
Out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.